This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fun first hour. If you are just joining us, it's 11 o'clock. You forgot to move your clock forward. It's not 10:08. It's 11:08. We've already been working for an hour, and it was a great hour. If you missed it, make sure you go check it out. You can get it on the Odyssey app, the podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Pete, the Vikings chose not to franchise Sam Darnold. And for those that don't understand, in its most simplest terms, yeah. This means you pay, I believe it's what an average of the highest, top five highest salaries at the position.
Yeah.
To keep him for 1 year, and then he is not a free agent. They chose not to franchise him because the price would have been somewhere around $40 million. And so Sam Darnold could certainly come back to the Vikings, but I don't think we're going to see that. He's going to go somewhere.
And potentially, couldn't you sign and trade him, though? I mean, and that's the one thing that bothered me. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
They could have. Yeah. They could have signed and trade him, but I don't. But, I mean, you know as well as I do in the NFL that there's so much information that goes around. Everyone knows that the Vikings wanted to either franchise him and sign and trade him, but everyone knows that he wasn't going to be the starter next year. Mm-hmm. At least I think so.
Yeah,
the way that information is out. So as an opposing GM, you're like, well, why would I trade for him when I know he's going to be a free agent? Unless you don't want to get into a bidding war, which is that's where the interest comes in. Mm-hmm. I think, for right or for wrong, I think the final two games of his season this year hurt his chances for everything.
Here's why I push back a little bit.
Go
on
ahead.
That, though. I look around the NFL, and there are so many spots right now that if the team decides to take a quarterback, is that quarterback really ready in the NFL? Because 95% of them probably are not really ready to start as a rookie,
okay.
Right? And so because of that, I think that's what makes it sort of interesting for me is do you go with Sam and realize that those last couple of games that we played and we lost and he didn't play very well, I still go back to the quarterback whisperer let him down. They needed to get rid of the ball quicker. We had an offensive line that had a jailbreak on him. They were getting worse and worse and beat up, and he had less opportunities out there. And I'm saying all this as a guy who was pushing back on Sam Darnold when everybody loved him. And now I'm thinking, you know, at this point in the juncture, he's a guy who they don't think he's that good. Yeah, the real Sam just showed up in the final two games. I don't think that's the case. And by the way, our receivers played poorly in those last two games as well. They did not get free of the defensive backs of Detroit and L.A. And so I think there's a lot of pieces to this whole puzzle trying to put them together. By the way, I just wanted to tell you real quick because this just came across. Myles Garrett just signed the largest contract ever to somebody other than a quarterback, $40 million a year. Cleveland. He stayed at
He's
Cleveland.
He's going back in Cleveland. Yep. That's interesting. So now Von Miller got released this morning too, which is interesting.
And you know, you look at Von's age and all the rest of it, yeah. and he's deteriorated somewhat as far as his production and everything. So that one kind of makes sense to me, to be honest with you. But the Myles Garrett is a little bit surprising, but they must have convinced him that they're going to go out and actually get the right players to get them mm-hmm. the possibility of being a playoff team. I'll tell you what, I'm not really sure who the best quarterback fit is. Is it Daniel Jones? I mean, somebody like that. You know, Daniel Jones' athleticism, he was on a terrible team. That's why he got picked as high as he did when he went to the Giants. They didn't get him all the right pieces to make him better. And I think that's part of the problem, because that guy is a great athlete, a heck of a quarterback. He just hasn't been in the right place yet. He's been stuck with the New York Giants, who are absolutely in a hole.
I have a lot of I'm going to push back on your
okay.
pushback, Pete.
Sure.
And so here's the problem for me is what this comes down to is it better to be a has-been or a never was? And what I mean by that is not that any of these guys are has-beens or never was. What it means is Sam Darnold's tape up until this year was, we can agree, was not good.
Right.
It wasn't good. Mm-hmm. And the problem then is, as soon as you start to regress towards that mean, which he did for those two games, mm-hmm. and I agree the cast around him wasn't great, but I'll go with Troy Aikman's take that, and this is borrowed from him, that if you're a good enough quarterback, you have to figure out a way to overcome some of those things. Mm-hmm. Some of them, not all of them. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you've seen again the old Sam Darnold. And so now the doubt of, do I make this investment, because it's now on tape on how to beat him. Hmm. So will he be as effective? And then you have to ask yourself, is my coaching staff and quarterback staff good enough to make Sam Darnold what he was this year with Kevin O'Connell? Mm-hmm. And then you have to ask yourself if you're looking at a rookie quarterback, because for better or for worse, the rookie quarterbacks, there's still a guess there of just how high their ceiling can be, because you don't know.
Right.
You don't know yet. Mm-hmm. As soon as you know, that's when the problem comes in. We know how good Sam Darnold can be and how bad Sam Darnold can be. We've seen it this year. Mm-hmm. What we don't know is, and when you're looking at rookie quarterbacks and guys you draft, you're looking at hope springs eternal. This guy could be what we saw on tape in college, because we have no evidence of anything differently. Mm-hmm. And so to me, when you're looking to invest your money on something, you are going to invest on the idea or the portion of this where the ceiling is higher, as opposed to knowing where the ceiling stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you make great points. You know, if I go back and I start looking at the Detroit game, or I start looking at the Rams game when he, as you said, started to fall back and look like the old Sam Darnold. You know, here's an interesting thing. When you look at the Rams game, and I look at what Sam did in that game, he was 25 of 40, 245 yards, a touchdown, an interception. That's not terrible. I know everybody yeah. presumed that was terrible, and they made the decision it was terrible, but he actually outdueled Stafford to some degree in that game himself. So put up about the same yards and all the rest of it. But, you know, I look at our defense. And I said it all year, Dave, and I continue to say it, and nobody else seems to want to listen about the idea that, hey, this is a defense that's giving up close to 400 yards in about 8 or 10 games. Mm-hmm. So for all the people who kept saying Bflo is the greatest guy ever and he's the best D coordinator we've seen in a long time and all the rest of these things, I think some of those things have to come into play. And by the way, Sam was sacked 9 times in that game against the Rams. So was that defensive line ripping us apart, all those young guys that are going to be there for a while? They don't have huge salaries and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They lit us up. Now, is that on Sam because he's holding the ball? Probably a little bit. But I also think if you go back and you look at the tape of the Rams game specifically, you're going to see that he gets back, and by the time he plants his back foot, he's got guys in his face. So it is different. I mean, is he holding the ball? Well, it looks like he's holding the ball, but actually the reality is these guys were coming after him, and our offensive line was absolutely pathetic, and specifically in the Rams game, and they were pretty bad in the Detroit game too. So You know, it's funny. Everybody loved Sam Darnold throughout the season. He's the greatest thing ever. Some of the guys were saying MVP. And then all of a sudden now he's back and he's suddenly one of the worst? I don't think so. I think his free agency is going to be very high.
I was one of those guys. And again, I'm not saying he's the worst. I am saying if I'm going to put my money somewhere and invest, I don't like that uncertainty that old Sam Darnold will come out.
Yeah.
Now, all this being said, I think you and I can both agree. If it's the right situation, and that's truly what you have to, if you're a general manager looking at Sam Darnold, you have to say to yourself, is this the right situation for him to succeed? Do we have the offensive line? Do we have the receiving threats? Do we have coaches that can accentuate what he does well and make sure? Do we have the run game so that it takes a little bit of pressure off him? All of those things now, Pete, where do you see? Because I think the whole time we had talked a little bit about the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Now Geno Smith goes to the Raiders.
Right.
Does he so where is the best landing spot now for Sam Darnold in your mind?
Yeah, I was thinking it was the Raiders. It made a lot of sense to me, and they have their ties back to USC even though they weren't there at the same time. It's a brotherhood just like anything. So that one made the most sense to me, but now that's out of the way, maybe it's one of these for instance, what if you're the Tennessee Titans and you've got the first pick. And now all of a sudden you can go out and say, well, we like this defensive end, this edge rusher from Penn State. We think the world of him. We can take him and we can sign a guy like Sam Darnold. Suddenly you've got a quarterback. What was really missing with Tennessee? And a lot of us probably didn't see a lot of the games, but one of the things for sure, because I did watch some of the games, they had no quarterback. You go back and look at what they had at quarterback for the last 2 years at Tennessee. They have nobody. And there are some talented guys around them. So, you know, offensive line, they've got some good offensive line. They've got some good defensive players as well. So I think that's one of those things that could turn around. So maybe Tennessee's a good spot. This free agency, we all know one thing. This will be a monstrous year for free agency, especially because of the fact that the caps went up by $22 million. That gives a lot more leeway to a lot more teams to make some of these decisions.
It's amazing. And I know we got to kind of put a bow on this and move on, but how amazing is it that the NFL's cap is going up? Meanwhile, basketball, excuse me, and baseball are facing some of their most pressing financial hardships in the history of the league. It's amazing. It just tells you everything about the NFL, doesn't it?
And real quick, Dave, I'll tell you this. Yeah. I met up with a friend of mine who happens to be a very successful businessman. He actually looked at the Minnesota Twins. And he said to me, he goes, they were looking closer for 1.6 or 1.7. He said, not a chance. They're probably closer to 1.4 at best. So I think that's something. And we haven't talked much about that with the Twins, but we still don't have owners there, right? And we're still ironing out a lot of the ownership of professional teams in the state of Minnesota, which makes it a pretty interesting time, especially with, you know, the Wolves and, of course, the Twins.
Well, let's talk a little Gopher hockey, shall we? Because we'll do this next. They will play they played their third game in the series with Notre Dame. This team is more stacked, I think, than we originally gave it credit for. But I'm curious here, is the Gopher hockey team the new, when is this team going to win a championship, close but can't win team? Because they're loaded, right? They've had plenty of talent. But if you look at today's youth, including, I'll just say, like, my son is 15, I don't think they haven't won an NCAA championship in his lifetime. They've come close, but they haven't won it. So where is Gopher Hockey on that? We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening. We're talking more hockey. What is going on today?
It's a
great day. I'm really I'm intrigued by this year's team. I watched some of their game against Notre Dame yesterday. And truly, this team really is stacked when you look at the roster, full of guys who will be more than likely NHL players and sometimes maybe even some stars. You got the Jimmy Snuggerudes. You got the Sam Renzels. You got the Mike Kesters. You've got more and more. I mean, they're so talented. But they've had talented teams before, and I don't know if this is the most talented, but it's up there. And someone's saying top players, someone to the text line right now, top players leaving early to go to the NHL has been an impact. Snuggerud's line mates from 2 years ago as an example. Yeah, guys leave. I get it. He stayed, which is great. But here's what I'm curious about. Is the Gopher hockey team, with all of its lineage and with all of its fanfare that it's had, is it the latest team to be close but still not get it? I mean, and what I mean by that is, are fans running out of patience here? Because the Gophers have not won a championship since 2003. They won their fifth championship in 2003. It was under Don Lucia. Since that time, they've played for titles but have not won. But you know who has won? Minnesota Duluth won three of them. Minnesota State Mankato didn't win but played for one. St. Cloud State has played for one. And it used to be that Minnesota was the only stopping point for great talent in Minnesota. So I ask you, and I ask the fans as well, are we to a point here where, and you think about it, it's been 19 years. Am I doing this? Excuse me, 21 years, almost 22 now. Yeah. 22 years, math is hard, since the Gophers men's hockey team has won an NCAA championship. Is that too long? Are we running out of patience with the Gophers men's hockey team being able to win the big one?
I think the reality of everything that you were talking about, though, Dave, which is you get these great players, they play together, and then they're off to the next stop. And it happens at a lot of other schools as well, but not, I don't think, to the same intensity of what we see at the University of Minnesota. These are top players. You got a guy like Snuggerud and all these guys. They're just phenomenal. And it's amazing that we're able to even hold on to them as long as we do. And it's one of those things. Just take a look. This is the one sport at the University of Minnesota where that ticket is still a special ticket to go to Gopher hockey. And I think that sort of speaks volumes about where they are, where the fans are, and what they love about their team and their Gophers and everything else. But the talent level is there. And, you know, when I was at the tournament, was it last year or the year before, down in Tampa, it was phenomenal to watch. Did we win it? No. But it was still great. We're right there, and it's a possibility. And it shows you how hockey, I think, has spread out even further than it ever has been in terms of the talent, and the talent not all just at the University of Minnesota and not just up at UMD and Mankato and all the rest of it. It's across the country. And these schools that didn't have the same level that we've had for such a long time have started to move in there because that's how many great players are there. We just watched this tournament here in Minnesota for the high school. Look at all the talent that was out there on the ice, right?
And look at where they're going to school.
None of them are going to Minnesota.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cullen is going to Michigan State, I believe.
Yeah.
And Kraft is going to Minnesota State Mankato.
Yeah. That's the part that's odd. I looked at the Mr. Hockey listing of guys, Dave, and I don't know that I saw one in that top 10, and maybe I missed somebody, so I don't say it. But that's going to the University of Minnesota. I didn't see anybody. Yeah. They're going to all these other schools, and that's probably a great thing for hockey. It might not be great for the University of Minnesota, but I still think we get the best of the best. And the fact that we haven't won one in, what you said, 21 years or whatever it was.
I believe so, 03.
Yeah, I think that says a little. We still get the great ones. We just can't hold on to them as long, right? And so then a new group, but their young group, comes in, and they're part of the team. And so we're always there, and we're kind of kicking it around. We just haven't been able to get over, like you're saying, to get that championship that we got pretty used to doing that type of thing back in the day.
And recruiting is harder now.
It is.
I mean, it is. And convincing guys that Minnesota is the only place to play, it's just not true anymore.
Right.
That doesn't make them a bad program. I think it is harder and harder to compete for Division I college hockey than it used to be. And you look at some of the teams that have won titles in the past 10, 11 years. Yale won a title. Union College won a title. Providence won a title. Quinnipiac won a title over Minnesota. That wasn't the way it used to be. Go back to the 60s. Denver, North Dakota, Denver, Michigan Tech, North Dakota, Michigan Tech, Michigan State, Cornell, Denver, Cornell, Boston University, Wisconsin, Minnesota. I mean, like, it was the same teams because you just got the best guys from your high schools that wanted to go play hockey there, or you recruited elsewhere. But the recruiting landscape is changing because you're not just recruiting against other colleges anymore. You're recruiting against other leagues.
Yeah.
And it's the pendulum is starting to swing back again that going to play college hockey is important and worthwhile, and you can still go to the NHL. USA Hockey's done a great job with that. But when you're looking at a top talent kid, you're not just competing. If you're looking for Minnesota, you're not just competing against Mankato or Bemidji State or St. Cloud State. You're competing against, well, do you want to, you know, you want to come play in the USHL? Mm. Not have to go to school, but just play junior hockey and then get drafted? Do you want to go to the Western League? Do you want to go to the Ontario Hockey League like Connor McDavid did and Connor Bedard and all these other guys? The competition for player talent is so much greater than it used to be that it's nearly impossible to put together a four-year quality team. And I think that's what's happening with Minnesota at this point. The fact that they can even be contenders year after year, I think, says more about the program than anything else.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I'll tell you, when you look at the attendance levels of all these schools, and North Dakota is unbelievable, Wisconsin's a little bit surprising that they're not even better, especially considering the fact that they're second-ranked, and they're about 5,000, Dave, under the capacity of what they've got. I'm just taking a quick look over here because I think it's so interesting. Meanwhile, the Gophers, we sit pretty tall still. And across the landscape of college hockey, this is a sport that has really, really just absolutely exploded over the last probably call it decade or more. But you look at the Notre Dame and Maine and Arizona State of all places and all these things. It's impressive, and they can come up to Minnesota, and if they're not getting the University of Minnesota, they can only give so many scholarships, right? I mean, it's a limited number. So we're sitting in that position where we try to get the very best, and the problem oftentimes is the very best might be there for a year or two, and then they're gone. Yep. And
if
in other
they
places,
leave early, you lose that scholarship, right? I believe. Yep. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure people will, but I think that's the way it goes, because I remember having conversations with Don Lucia, back in when he was here, about the idea that you want to go get those five-star guys, but if they only last a year or two, then you lose their scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about finding the five-star guys; it's about finding the three-star guys that you can move up to a five-star guy with development, and that's hard to do. It's hard to do. It's hard to have that patience because everybody's got to win now. So I like this team. I think this year's team, when you look at some of the numbers and the guys that they have, super talented team with guys. I mean, Jimmy Snugger is going to be an NHLer. Sam Renzel is going to be an NHLer. My guess, Mikey Kester is going to be an NHLer. You've got guys on this team who will be NHL players. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be fun to watch, see what happens today. 3:00, I believe, is the game time today against Notre Dame. So it should be a good one there. And then we'll see where they go in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a quick break. Finally, it's Josh's time to shine.
Oh.
Finally.
He can't wait.
Look at all these texts. Where's Josh?
Yeah.
When's the fast break? Shut up, Dave. When's the fast break? Pete, put your sleeves on. When's the fast break? Josh and the fast break are coming up next. It's an 830. Can I make a correction really quick?
Sure. Eat
Thank
more
you
my airtime.
Thank you to the texter that alerted me to the Gopher game is at 6:00 today. Gopher men's hockey at 6:00 today, not 3:00. Sorry. My apologies, Josh.
By the way, former St. Cloud State coach Bob Motzko, so downgrade there. Let's just point that out.
Love Bob Motzko.
Went from the great St. Cloud State to the mediocre Gophers. Pete, we never start with you, so we're going to start with you, Pete.
All right.
You always start with Pete.
Yeah,
go
sure
ahead.
We do. So
and
many
you always say you don't.
So many huge moves in
so
the past
true.
Week with the new NFL fiscal year. I love saying that. The fiscal year beginning in 3 days. Joey Bosa is a free agent. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf, I think, is still with Seattle. I don't know if he's officially out yet, but he wants out of Seattle. Devontae is no longer a Jet. That lasted about as long as a Starbucks cup of coffee.
Yep.
Miles Garrett, we just learned, is unfortunately staying in Cleveland. I banged my fist on the table when Pete said that because I think it's so
million.
Stupid Ooh. That he's staying there. So many things to keep track of. Which move was the most surprising or most intriguing to you this past week, Pete?
I think most surprising is the Miles Garrett, quite frankly. He's a guy who came out. He was very, very vocal about I want to win a championship. It's not about money, blah, blah, blah. He went through that whole thing. looks like he went for the money. Although
you're not winning a championship.
They might, you know, they really could. If they went out and got the right quarterback to fit, and obviously they have not done that with Watson, and they've gone with multiple other quarterbacks.
Or ever.
But if they can get a quarterback that gets him excited, and my guess would be they did exactly that. They must have said to him, hey, here's the list of quarterbacks. We'll tell you who we're going to try to get here. And I think that's what convinced him. But that's the shocker, because he signed this without knowing who the quarterback's going to be. And I think that's a little bit shocking.
Listen, if you can sell anybody that Cleveland is going to put together a winning franchise, brother, you are in the wrong business. You should be in sales, because I got a bridge to sell you. I mean, this franchise has been so bad for so long. They have never had a quarterback that lasts since Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to go back to Kosar.
I don't know how they sold Garrett that this is the place that's going to win, other than they just maybe drove a dump truck full of $123.5 million to his house and said, you tell us to go away. And, I mean, of course, he's going to say no. To me, this one, I was very surprised by this. I thought he made it abundantly clear that he wanted to go somewhere where he might actually win games. But I guess all he cares about is money.
Well, but if they get a quarterback, I mean, they really aren't that far away when you look at the talent.
Listen, if I was 6'6", I'd be a better hockey player. I'm 46 years old. I'm not going to grow to 6'6". It's time to give it up. If they can get a quarterback, they've been saying that in Cleveland for 20 years.
I know.
Hey.
I love you,
buddy. Don't make me go punch you. Need a quarterback. They ousted their one good chance, and he's now a future Hall of Famer.
Now
in
he's
Tampa.
Playing at Tampa. Yeah. I knew where he was going.
Yes. Well, listen, one of the many bad decisions at that position that franchise has made.
Very true. Dave, since we last met, there was a huge couple of restructurings happening in Dallas. Both Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have their contracts restructured, but hold the phone. I even have audio to go with this. Jerry says it's not to spend money on free agents, but he's placing his bet on something else. I'll play this audio from Mr. Jerry Jones.
I don't think aggressive is the right word. Okay. I think I'm not looking at free agency as a place to fill voids.
Okay. So you don't have any voids? Would you
not
say?
If you include what might work for us in the draft and what we're doing with our own roster relative to who we want to sign.
So, Dave, my question for you with that is it smart for Jerry Jones to place all his chips in the draft after making the room for more cap for free agents?
Well, I mean, tell me again why we're talking to the owner about what they're going to do. I'm puzzled by...
Because people thought for the first time in history that an owner was going to show his cards as far as what he's going to do with his money. And that is probably a guy that is at the bottom of the list of people that is ever going to show his cards when it comes to how he's going to spend his money.
Well, restructuring guys, I think, is a smart idea. Smart, because then they get more money to do other things. And you know as well as I do. I mean, the NFL... They'll cut you as soon as they don't need you anymore. They're printing money in the NFL. They don't care about what it costs to buy you out or to pay whatever they got to pay you. So I don't know that he's necessarily putting all his chips in the free agent area. Mm. I actually think if you can get both your starting quarterback and your number one wide receiver to take restructures in the same year, that's pretty dang good.
No, he's putting all his chips in the draft, it seems like, based on that, what you're saying. It sounds like he's deferring to the draft, and if they don't get what they need out of the draft, he's going to maybe spending money isn't Dallas' thing.
I don't know what Dallas's number one need is. Pete, you probably do. And I don't. So, I mean, to know what's available in the draft, that the need that they have might be the bigger question. I don't know. I just think it's really interesting that he got both of those parties to restructure. I find that fascinating, because that's not common.
It gives him room to have a little bit more leeway when he wants to make, if he wants to make, whether it's free agency or draft, doesn't really matter. I mean, the reality is, by restructuring, it gives him that opportunity to make some of those decisions. Now, can he get the guys that he's looking for, which I would say is probably mostly on the defensive side of the ball right now? You've already got your quarterback. You've got your wide receiver. You know, running back-wise, are they good? They're okay. I don't think they're great at this point in time. So that would be a position that Dallas has always had a running back. Right now, you can't even name a running back that's playing on the Dallas Cowboys.
They should have kept Dalvin Cook, is what they should have done.
They probably should have done that, or they should have they should have done something. I mean, when I look at this team, that's the one position, and everybody finally in the NFL has woken up to say, hey, maybe having a running back is an important thing. I mean, all you had to do is look at this year and see what those offenses were. The offenses that absolutely had some of the best numbers had
Eagles,
a really
man.
Good running back. Yeah,
yep.
You can go to the Eagles. You can go to Baltimore. You can go to a lot of – even the Minnesota Vikings, for crying out loud. Yep. We actually had
Everybody
Aaron
said
Jones.
Philly was crazy for spending that money on
right.
Saquon, and look at that.
Well, they're going to really say crazy now because you saw his most recent contract, right? It's
yep.
the biggest for a running back ever, $21 million a year. Wow.
Pete, you love Deion Sanders. I think you're going to love Shedeur Sanders even more.
Oh, boy.
He took to the mic last week. I'm throwing a bit some audio into our fast breaks today.
If you knew what the name was, maybe you'd get more time.
Quick Take audio right now from Adam and Jordan. Chill out. He took to the mic last week and touched on what we talked about a couple weeks ago. He says he's going to, quote, change the culture and change the program. Here's what Shedeur had to say.
We went from Jackson State to Colorado and changed two programs back to back. So you don't think I could come to an NFL franchise and change a program again? It's history. We've done it again. It's always going to repeat itself.
Pete, do you think Mr. Shedeur Sanders is going to change the culture of a team that he joins single-handedly?
Probably not.
Yeah.
you know, he's a likable guy, and yet he's not a likable guy, right? And I go back and forth with this because I think he's a very talented kid. I really do. Tom Brady was his mentor, right? I mean, they're friends. The dads know each other very, very well. And so if they were the team that drafts him, if it's the Raiders, that would be very interesting because I think Tom could maybe get into his head a little bit and get him to be coached up to not do some of the things that he does. I mean, like, for instance, Tom Brady was the guy who called him out and said, look, you need to stop driving around on campus in that Rolls Royce. You need to start watching a lot more film. That's the reality. This guy was making $4 million off of his NIL, Dave. I mean, and not sharing it with other guys on the team. That's kind of disturbing. So if he brings that culture, it's going to be bad. If he brings the right culture that his dad has been preaching, I think he could actually do something. But to change the franchise, he just has to do it on the field.
I'll say two things. One, if you have to say you're going to do it, if you have to say you're going to be, I'm going to change the culture, I'm going to change the franchise, chances are you're not, right? Like, people know you're going to do it if you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen that way. But also, saying that you changed the culture at Jackson State and Colorado means that you can do it in the NFL. You're talking about wildly different cultures and organizational structures there. It's like saying you changed the menu at Arby's so you can go ahead and revolutionize Mancini's. They're just not the same thing. They're just not.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that you, quote, changed the culture at Jackson State gives you no credibility in the NFL level. And again, if you have to talk it, it means you're not walking it. And so, like, forget you. I'm so over that whole family, honestly.
And Dave, I'll say one last thing I'd say is this, is the culture at the college level and the pro level is so distinctly different. It's why so many coaches who were great are not great. I mean,
great call.
Go down to Alabama and ask Nick Saban how it went in the pro level. Ask Steve Spurrier. These are great coaches that everybody loves, and they're the greatest coach of all time, and blah, 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 blah. But it's really hard to be somebody, and that's why I am so impressed with Jim Harbaugh. He's done it at every single level. Every level he's done it, he's been a winner. So it's a difficult thing. It is a very difficult thing, and I think that culture change is something that not one person is going to do, and it's probably not the player. It's probably the coach.
No, and you're right. When you put money, the money that these players make essentially elevates them. That's the difference, right? In the pros, you're elevated above the coach in many ways, both financially and in terms of what you can bring to the organization. College, it's totally different, even with NIL.
Yeah.
You know, it's still Nick Saban when he was at Alabama, you know, was still Alabama.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh was Michigan. No player was above him. Mm-hmm. When you get to the pros, it's different. And I think it's just a totally different ballgame.
You know,
we've seen for coaches.
The Georgia coach has $13 million a year is what he makes. So, yeah, he's doing okay.
That's some Dave Schwartz money right there.
Dave Schwartz money.
Pete, one last one here. I'll give you each 30 seconds to give me your yes or no and why. Pete, you have a lot of friends. Pete, you have a lot of friends in high places and low places. Dave, this one's for you. You just have friends in places.
I'm Garth Brooks.
One of Pete's best friends could possibly follow in his dad's footsteps. Yes, his daddy is Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. We saw Brett Favre go from Packers to the Jets to the Vikings. Given that it's highly unlikely Darnold comes back now, would you take Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Dave Schwartz, on a rental?
I already said it. No, okay. Pass. Okay. No, thanks. Okay. Pass. Pass.
And I can keep this. I can keep it short, Dave. I'm with you. No, no. I don't think he's the right guy. He doesn't have the culture here. And I think the second something goes wrong, we have a problem.
So he's not a Shedeur Sanders. He doesn't have the
culture. He's not. I'd rather have Shedeur Sanders. There you go. You found someone I'd rather a way that I would take Shedeur Sanders. Give me a choice. Aaron Rodgers. Not only can he not play football anymore, he's just a problem in the locker room. I don't want any part of that mess.
Yep.
Yeah. People used to say the same thing about Dave. Whenever you come in to do post game interviews with players and TV, it's like just a problem in the locker room. Get him out of here.
Any part of that train wreck was a quote, direct quote about me at one point.
All right. And we do have, by the way, we'll come back. We do have some somewhat breaking news with LeBron James.
Oh
good. Yes. Let's talk about it next, okay? Great fast break, Josh. Great job. Mm-hmm. All right, Josh. You got me on, and you got me. Like, I have thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So apparently, here's the breaking news with LeBron. He is missing 1 to 2 weeks with a groin injury. He will be not playing for the Lakers for a little bit due to a groin injury, and he left yesterday's game with said injury. But that's not the big news that I think a lot of people are talking about. I think a lot of people are talking about, rightfully so, Stephen A. Smith criticized Bronny last week, and I actually watched it live on First Take as it was happening because I thought it was very valid as far as the criticism goes of Bronny's performance and him kind of being just ushered in, like after the first game, pull him. Don't play him really in any other NBA games. But he's traveling with the team. He's in their full force, in the thick of it. Made a bunch of critical comments, very constructive criticism towards Bronny, and LeBron basically pulled Stephen A. Smith aside on the court this past week at a game and basically gave him the Will Smith, you know, keep my son out your mouth kind of situation. And my frustration with this is Stephen A. Smith, just like us here at CCO or any other market media, as far as media goes, has every right to criticize the situation.
Yes. Yes. I'll say this because I don't like Stephen A. Smith. I don't like his style. He's loud. He's way too bombastic for me. But I'll say this. He does have every right to talk about Bronny James. And LeBron has no right to criticize him about it because Bronny James is an NBA player. Okay? You want to bring your kid into the NBA, and let's call this what it is. Bronny James, if his name was not Bronny James, would not be an NBA player right now. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. You have every right. And actually, to be completely honest, LeBron should be thanking Stephen A. Smith because he is treating him like an actual NBA player and ripping him. That's exactly what he should be doing. He should say to him, thank you. Because you're probably the only person that actually accepts Bronny James as a real NBA player because nobody else does. The big problem I have, and I only watched a little bit of it while we were waiting in the break, is that Stephen A. Smith came on the next day, and I'll give him credit. He confronted, he stood his ground. That's what you do. If you're an opinionated journalist, you got to go back, right? You can't just talk from far away. But he sat there and he made an excuse and said this was not about – and I'm going to get the quote wrong, but he basically said, this was not a basketball player confronting me. It was a parent that was a father, and I can't blame him for that. And that's where I have a problem. Stephen A., you were right. You don't have to back down. And I don't know what happened beyond that quote because I didn't get a chance to continue listening to it here. But he doesn't have to make excuses for LeBron James and say, well, you know what? You're talking to me as a father, not a son. Your kid's not a high school player. He's not a college player. If you want to make sure, I've always thought this way, you don't rip college kids necessarily. You don't rip high school kids. That's just an unwritten rule in journalism, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But if you're getting paid money and you want to play this game where I want to play with my son and I'm going to help usher him into the NBA, then you'd better be ready to take the criticism and accept the criticism. Because if not, you're being a fool. And he was 100% wrong for confronting Stephen A.
Yeah, I hear you. I think everything you said is exactly right. And you put yourself in that position. He decided he wants to put himself in the draft. And we all know that. Was he really – did he have the numbers at all to put himself into the position to even get drafted where he got drafted, number one, but drafted to the Lakers the way that whole thing played out? And the answer is no. He doesn't have those numbers to stack up for that. So, you know, I don't know why there's not some reality check. And it's great that you want to defend your son and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that this kid's making money, to your point. He's not a high school kid. He's not even a college kid. And in college, by the way, he made a heck of a lot of money off NIL, mm-hmm. and like he needed it. But then they're giving him this opportunity. And it was an interesting confrontation between the two of them, and I'm a little bit different. I actually find Stephen A. to be very entertaining and interesting, but I understand the people that don't like it because he is blunt and he is right in people's face, and I think LeBron did not like that at all.
And I say all that stuff saying, while I don't like Stephen A. Smith, and that's how passionate I am about this, and we're going to run out of time, so I'm not going to. I have more thoughts about this. I mean,
next week.
I'll leave it this way. Could you imagine Tom Brady or Wayne Gretzky trying to usher their kids into the league and then getting mad when the media didn't cover them the right way? No way.
Nope.
No way.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, gentlemen, have a great Sunday. You have a great Sunday out there as well. We'll talk with you next week.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.